welcome to a new podcast. This is Dan Hegerich, six-time cancer survivor. I've had the pleasure of receiving a couple of requests to do a talk or a podcast on movement. And I like to keep these podcasts kind of short, in a sense, you know, under 30 minutes for sure. And I want to try and start this one off. Not try, I'm going to start this podcast off with thanking those that have supported this podcast in listening to it. If you are here once again, thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate you very much for taking your precious time and spending it with me on this podcast about movement. If you are new to the podcast, thank you for chiming in. I hope I deliver some value to your life and, of course, improve the quality of your life because it's really simple. My purpose in life is to make your life healthier or make you healthier, wealthier, and more loving today than you were yesterday. So let's kick off a movement podcast with a quote from Thich Nhat Hanh. He's a monk and a very compassionate and empathetic teacher of life. And he says, regular exercise is about as close to a magic potion as you can get. It's worthy of repeating. Regular exercise is about as close to a magic potion as you can get. Now, he refers to exercise, but I'm going to clarify that in this podcast about the difference between exercise and movement. Two very different things. Although they're both important, they are two different things. So let's get going on this talk today, which I had the request. Now, let's take a look at this from a bigger picture. There is a philosophical approach to life that I have applied, and that's called nutrition and movement. Everything in your life comes down to nourishment or nutrition and movement. So are you nourished? See, most people don't know what they need to really be nourished at the cellular level in the body. Most people don't know what to think in order to feel nourished or to behave in a nourishing way in the world. And certainly, if we talk about one's soul, people don't know how to nourish their soul appropriately so that they can move across the plane of this planet and this plane of living with greater ease, with greater confidence, self-esteem, and all those positive emotions, I guess you could call it, positive emotions. Just a feeling of being at home within their own skin. So nutrition is vital, a vital principle. And when you're really nourished in soul, mind, and body, then you move across the plane of this world in a certain way, which I think is creative, cooperative, empathetic, and naturally compassionate. When you're malnourished, you're going to move in a certain way, right? That is actually the opposite of that. You're going to be competitive, complaining. You're going to use your creative resources to complain more and not really go after solving that which you need solving. In other words, you stop in the solution thinking and you're stuck in the problem thinking. This is my problem. So nourishment is vital. Now, the same is true for movement. Movement can be nourishing or it could be malnourishing. Just like the food you eat at any given time will nourish you or it will malnourish you. So movement can be malnourishing or nourishing. And the lack of movement is malnourishing. And the lack of movement could be nourishing, such as in sleep, where restoration takes place. So let me just recap. Movement is just one side of the coin of a dualistic philosophy that I follow. Nutrition is on the other side. So you can't neglect nutrition and consider movement, but you have to think of it as both. And in movement or taking on some sort of movement therapy to improve the quality of your life, you would consider finding movements that nourish what you need in order to get to what you want. So if you want to improve your leisure activities, if you want to improve your sports performances, if you just want to improve how you feel and how you function on daily activities, you need to think about what is it that you need in order to meet what you want. Oftentimes people neglect or overlook what their real true needs are and just go after what they think they need, which is mostly what they want. In other words, they turn a want into a need while their true needs go unmet. And then they never feel satisfied and they never get any gains in their goals or their health goals or their life goals. So in terms of discussing movement, you want to consider what are your true needs versus, not really versus, find out what your true needs are so you don't get trapped into going after everything that you want while your true needs become unmet. Because it's true for me anyway, I don't know about you, when your true needs are met, then it will take you towards what you want, because most often what you really want is your true needs to be met in your body, in your mind, and in your soul. With that said, let's get some practical information or insights into movement. Here, there's going to be two different types of exercises. One, energy going in type of exercises versus energy going out type of exercises. And this is an important concept to think about, because many people who have very low vitality reserves from battling life and all the potholes and obstacles they've been challenged with, and their energy is low. So what do? They just go back to what popular press and all the cultural conditioned ways of so-called movement is really exercise, to go jogging, to go swimming, to go riding a bike, etc. All well and good. But if your vitality is low, remember that running, that biking, that swimming, they're all energy going out type of exercises, depending on the intensity in which you do them at. Energy going in is just that, lower intensity, so that the energy inside you can flow. So you're creating movement inside. You're starting to restore your vitalities so that you can actually go and use some vitality in energy going out type of exercises or movement. Now that might be a brain twister for some of you, so let's just try and recapture that. There's two types of exercises, energy going out and energy going in. Energy going out uses your personal vitality and energy to perform the task or the exercise or the movement. Call it spending. You're spending some life force. Energy going in is income. Energy is coming in. In Chinese Qigong, we call that cultivating energy. Here, the movements are less intense. In fact, they're very subtle. And what's happening is you're restoring vitality so that you'll have something to spend in the activities that you love to do. Maybe it's downhill skiing in the winter. Maybe it's snowshoeing. Maybe it's all these other activities that actually cost you energy to spend. However, if you're ever in the position I was in where I had virtually no vitality, what some of the healers and people I've come across in the past said, I was riding on spiritual fumes. That's about all I had at the cellular level. I was not producing energy, but my egoic sense of self and my cultural, societal, and general conditioning said, I got to go do push-ups. I got to go run. I got to sprint. I got to do like run up hills. I got to do all this aggressive energy going out type exercises, which of course depleted me more. which is why if I started to do weightlifting for the so-called hour of training, it would take me 3-4 weeks to recover. I couldn't recover. I didn't have the vitality, and I went into so-called energy debt, vitality debt, and it took me a very long time to recover. This is the difference between not knowing what my needs are and just going after what I want. And what I wanted was something superficial. I wanted to say, oh, look at me, I have strong muscles. Look at me, I have this or that, my physique, my vanity, my shape, my size, all those things. Energy going out. It's all energy going out. I had to really be humbled. So finally in 2004, I was taught that, or a healer said, the only thing that's in the way of your healing is your personality. And I agreed. And I had to start walking slowly for long periods of time. So I had to practice energy going in. So you can go for a walk. But remember, the higher the intensity, the more energy that's going to go out. Energy going in type of exercise, meditation. It's movement. When you sit in stillness and silence and close your eyes, you'll see how much activity is going on. So meditation is energy going in type of movement. And it nourishes one. So when someone says, I don't have the energy to exercise, so I can't exercise, that's because you're not understanding movement. Feldenkrais movement therapy is energy going in really slow, intentional movements to bring awareness into your body. Qigong, medical Qigong, Tai Chi, energy going in to restore vitality. That doesn't mean energy going out type of exercises such as weightlifting, you know, the HIIT programs, high intensity interval training, all well and good if you have enough vitality to do them and the enough vitality or vitality, vital reserves to heal and recover adequately. So no exercise is inherently bad for a person, but if it goes against what you need, then that is considered something, I don't like to say wrong or bad, but I do like to say it doesn't serve you in your highest needs to get to what you want. Energy going in versus energy going out. Very strong principle for you to get under your mindset, because our culture is so stuck on energy going out, energy going out, energy going out, energy going out. I can't do it because I can't do it the way I used to. So therefore, I'm not going to do anything. And give up and give in, right? You give up on the possibility and you give into stagnation, you give into whatever obstacles in your mind that you can't exercise or move your body. Well, that's a lie. That's a cultural, social, personal lie. Secondly, a lot of people, this is just a side note, thought processes, a lot of people have forgotten that investing in their well-being is quite a good investment. Since I've learned health is the foundation to life, it's my greatest asset, is my vitality, my energy. It's the best investment. So people are going to have to allocate time, money, and personal awareness and energy into finding out what movements or what you need to do in order to get moving. And yes, I think a little bit of energy going out is very useful. Very useful. In very tiny, tiny amounts relative, or in amounts relative to your vital reserves. Vital reserves means how much energy. How much energy do I have in savings to deal with the demand of my life as it is now, and then the demand of the exercise that I'm thinking of doing. But if you're in debt, energy debt like I was, you have to consider doing way more energy going in versus the energy going out. Which brings me to the second concept for you to consider, which is more practical rather than that. For some of you, it might be esoteric even. The second one is aerobic exercise versus anaerobic exercise. Aerobic exercise, you know, or you, if you don't know, is in the presence of oxygen. And the more intense the movement gets, or the exercise gets, the more anaerobic it becomes, which means it is movement or energy in the lack of oxygen. Aerobic activity can go from essentially a base zone of training all the way up to basically anaerobic thresholds. That's the spectrum. You know, they talk about base training, zone 2 training, zone 3, zone 4, zone 5, and so on. And I learned this when I was doing, or still am, engaged in metabolic rehab. So if your metabolism is not doing so well like mine was, then I had to learn how to do slow, low, and long workouts. So-called workouts, but they became work-ins or energy going in. So essentially zone 2 training for me was about 55% of my maximum heart rate. Now it was technically and scientifically found when I went to do some training with the Colorado Sports Medical Center in Colorado University. And I did a full metabolic flexibility assessment to determine how do I help heal what I need in order to get what I wanted. My needs were slow, low, and long, so-called movement and exercise. The anaerobic training that I could do was about 3% of my volume in time. So if I did 60 minutes a day, I could do roughly 3% of that as anaerobic training, so to speak. Think about that. It was only about 3 minutes I could devote, roughly about 3 minutes, a couple of minutes a day in a training session, or I could build it up at the end of the week and do a little bit more. So I gave myself plenty of time to recover. And then I would spend about 4% to 6% of that in what they called VO2 max uptake training. So what the idea was for energy going in, for me to heal and rehabilitate my metabolic system, meaning the cellular energy and the mitochondria within the cells, which the mitochondria are the cell's engine or engines to produce the energy for the cell to function, to heal, to nourish, etc. You might think that, wow, mitochondria, wow, there's, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of mitochondria in cells, specifically slow twitch muscle cells, which respond to low intense exercises, long duration, right? and slow movements. And in this particular training, you start to utilize fat as your source of energy much better than sugar. So I had to learn, in order to get what I wanted in terms of my, I guess, health goals, fitness goals, etc., was I needed to do basically the opposite of what's out there, which is all this high intense training, CrossFit, you name it. I can't even tell you how many versions of them there is, but it's high intense training, anaerobic training for long periods of time. Sometimes it's 60 minutes, right? 60 minutes with a few intervals in between, 40 minutes, 60 minutes, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. It wasn't going to meet my needs. And for most people, their metabolic system is not optimal at all. In fact, there's a high level of people, high percentage of people who have some degree of metabolic dysregulation because they utilize sugar as an energy source over fat. And you can find out more information about that, about sugar burner versus fat burners. And if you want to become healthy in well-being, the ability to be a fat burner as your primary source of fuel is paramount. And secondly, metabolic flexibility is even just as important. So I think I'm floating down a few threads here that you might not be familiar with. So let's just recap a little bit. There's energy going in versus energy going out exercises. And most people who are suffering from or need rehabilitation physically, they need metabolic, or their metabolic function has to be rehabilitated. They're going to need to consider energy going in type of movements, slow, low, and long, and consistent, versus energy going out, which would be a very small fraction of what your exercise program or your movement therapy program would be considered. That means aerobic versus anaerobic exercises. Aerobic would be considered slow, low, and long. The more intense that aerobic activity becomes, it changes into anaerobic, which means it starts to become energy going out. It's starting to spend money, spend your vitality. And that means aerobic is fat burner versus sugar burner. And I'm suggesting to you to consider, what do you need? In order to get to what you want. So you could start from the end point and back it in. So you could say, this is what I want. Now, what do I need in order to get to what I want? And do I know, do I read and study this, or do I need to find it reasonable to consider hiring someone that would be able to understand what my needs are and help point me in the right directions to get me to head and potentially achieve what I want? So in my zone 2 training, just sharing, I had to begin with, this was a shock to my psyche and my ego, was my first prescription to meet my needs, my real needs. I had to walk 45 minutes to 90 minutes every day at 122 beats per minute. Well, actually, take that back, 122 to 130 beats per minute. And lo and behold, for the first month or so, it was a mind-crushing blow. It was really hard mentally. You know, it was because I was mentally trained to get it done, to sprint through it. But I was trusting in the people I hired, and I started the process, and I started to feel better and better and better every day. And because my body was going slow, was moving slower at a lower intensity, which is 122 beats to 130 beats per minute, which was really about 50% effort, and doing it for 45 minutes to an hour, as a minimum, they wanted me to do it 5 to 6 days a week, preferably 7 days a week. And then I could only spend a little bit of time. Like I said, about 7% of my total training during a week could be devoted to going into improving my VO2 max uptake, which was zone 5 training, and then, which was about 4%, and then 3% in what was known as anaerobic threshold, which was so small, which that meant my heart rate could go to 165 to 175 for about 2 minutes max, like per workout, or 6 minutes per week. That's energy going out. But look at all the recovery, active recovery I had was basically my regular workout, which was just going for a walk. As my needs got met, I started to feel better, and it started to take me to what I wanted, which was to improve my ability to burn fat as a fuel source and to heal metabolic dysregulation. What that really means too, let's bring this up because it's touching base with me, is when I got my first full flexibility, a full metabolic flexibility assessment, if they had me starting to jog at 4.5 miles per hour, which is the slowest you can go for a jog, most people can walk around 4 miles per hour. But then once you get to 4.5, you might have to pick up your feet and start to lightly jog. So they started the test off with the light jog at 4.5. And immediately my body went into a stress response. What do I mean by that? It means that my body was using sugar as a fuel just at 4.5 miles per hour. That's how taxed or dysregulated my metabolic system was. And if you looked at me, people wouldn't think that. People would think that, oh, do you jog? Do you do marathons? I'm like, no, I could never do a marathon. So people thought I was fit or healthy. Maybe let's just take that back, because healthy and fitness might be two different things, because there are some fit people that are unhealthy. I guess it's a paradox and it's worthy of another talk. So anyway, I was there, and that was the hardcore reality. I couldn't finish the actual assessment appropriately because they knew right away that I had no metabolic function or very little. In other words, the medical world would say that I was perfectly healthy according to blood tests. Well, with the exception of a few blood tests, such as my white blood cells always being low or various other markers. However, when I went to actually get assessed by people who actually study health and optimal health, I was in poor health at the cellular level. So I had to start doing things to meet my needs in order to get what I wanted. So I started to do a lot more Qigong. I started to do a lot more walking. I started to do a lot more stability exercises for my joints. I started to do a lot more postural holds, Qigong holds, some yoga poses to hold them. I started to do full body flexibility. I started meditating more. I started to really focus on my sleep for nourishment, to recover, to restore that energy that I needed, rather than energy going out constantly. So right now, I want you to think about what you want to do physically, what kind of movement you want in your physical body. You could also think about that in higher places, like what kind of movement do you want in your own creativity? What kind of things do you want in your own soul? What kind of movement do you want to bring to the world? So think about what you want and then back it in and say, how do I get my needs met to get what I want? Who do I know? What resources do I have? who can I reach out and say, this is what I want physically, but I need to have someone really know what they're doing to assess what my needs are. Then here comes the hard part in the beginning. You actually got to do it. You actually have to enter the discomfort and uncomfortable feelings physically and mentally to go after what you want. Because like I said, for me, it was rehabilitation, not only in my physical well-being, but when I was slowing down my body and my walks, my mind started to slow down. I started to become more present. I started to become more appreciative and grateful. So not only did it start to heal my body, but because physiology drives psychology, and psychology drives physiology, a lot of things started to shift in my life because I was getting my true needs met. And this is where we can end this conversation today. When you get your true needs met, then you will start to see what you really want, what's really important to you, and you'll feel like you already have what you need or what you really want, because when your true needs are met, you already got what you want. Well, this was probably a backwards way of trying to explain it. I don't know if it was clear for you guys. If you had any misunderstandings here, you certainly can comment and reach out to me. You can check out my website, www.danhegerich.com. You can go to my YouTube channel for some movement or energy going in type movements. My YouTube channel is Dan Hegerich. I'll leave those in the description, the links. And if you want, you can go to my other podcast to listen for more inspiration to get you moving. You have to move. Remember what we started out with, the quote by Thich Nhat Hanh? You remember that? Regular exercise is about as close to a magic potion as you can get. And it's true. Just like what Paul Cech has famously quoted, exercise is a drug. It's the drug of choice. Did you know that regular exercise has better results for depression than any pharmaceutical drug? As long as it's energy going in with a little bit of energy going out. Little bit of anaerobic intense exercises, like a minute a day, maybe a minute twice a day, but then go for long, slow walks in nature. Consistently. Regular exercise is about as close to a magic potion as you can get. Energy going in versus energy going out. Aerobic activity, slow, low, and long training versus anaerobic, which is higher intensity, which of course is fast movements, intensity, which means your breath becomes, you run out of breath. So the higher the intensity, you'll run out of breath quicker. And they're short durations with some time intervals to rest. And then you got fat metabolism, burning fat as a major fuel, as your primary source of fuel, versus sugar burning, which burning sugar is okay, but when you want long-term well-being, metabolic flexibility is important relative to how you want to live your life. In other words, what do you want? And realizing that burning fat is a much cleaner source of fuel than it is to burn sugar. And I'll reiterate, you want to know what your true needs are met to get you moving properly in order for you to acquire or achieve what you want. So again, this is Dan Hegerich, 35 minutes, a little bit longer than I wanted, but I guess that's where we went. Again, thank you so much for listening, spending this precious time of yours with me. I greatly appreciate it. If you want more podcasts from me and you want a certain subject matter or a certain content, please do put it in the comment or find your way to me in an email. I am here to be of service to you because my purpose in life is to somehow find a way to help you become healthier, wealthier, and more loving today than you were yesterday. Let's do the cure. Bye for now.